during our episode a few minutes ago with a storm that was going on, Rick leaned over and asked me if I was preaching on hail and brimstone. So. Actually, we were driving here and we were pulling up and Tess saw the clouds and she said, "Dad, wow, look at those clouds. There's going to be a storm." I said, "That's right. There's going to be lightning outside and thunder from the pulpit." So. Actually, there's not going to be any thunder from the pulpit tonight. This is it's hard to preach. It's hard to have thunder from the pulpit when the lesson's on peace. So, you know, this idea of peace during trials, peace regardless of your situation, is something I wanted to talk about. If it sounds a little bit familiar, last fall, I gave an invitation on the same topic and really wasn't able to do it justice. It's a topic that's been on my mind. It was on my mind then. It's still on my mind now. And I just really wanted to build that out a little bit and share some things that hopefully will be helpful to you. They've been helpful to me to think about. I went back through the invitation to try to like get rid of things so I don't repeat them, so you're not hearing like the same thing twice. But if you hear, you know, one or two points that sound familiar, that's the reason why. And the reason really why I chose this topic and the idea of having peace regardless of our circumstances and our trials is because I think we go through a lot of stuff. I think we have a lot to deal with. When you talk to each other and you understand what's going on in people's lives, you come to realize pretty quickly that people have a lot of things that they have to deal with, a lot of trials, and a lot of heartaches, and a lot of things that can really rob your peace and really take that away. It can be, we could talk a long time about what those are. There's health issues, of course. There's various struggles that people have with their health or with the health of a loved one. We could talk about occupational work-related things, problems at work, struggles at work, struggles having work, you know, those types of situations. Money always brings trials, usually lack of or not feeling like you have enough money. But certainly financial things could bring trials and things that take away our peace. And what about relationships? Is it fair to say that the relationships in our life can sometimes cause heartache or cause stress or trials? Maybe a family member, a friend, or a coworker, maybe someone here in the church. Those things can certainly cause us to be, take away our joy and cause us to not have peace. So I think it's important that we talk about those. And you might even be asking maybe the question, how do I have peace? I know it's a promise that God makes. I know He promises that we'll have peace if we trust in Him. But with all these situations that happen in our life and all these trials, how do I find this peace? How do I go about having that, I guess, that sense of peace that God promises? And that's really what I want us to talk about. My theme or my message is that we can absolutely have that peace. And you know that. And God does promise it. And regardless of trial, regardless of what you're going through, He wants you to have peace. And we certainly can, irrespective of the different situations we have. Psalms 29:11 says, "The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace." 2 Thessalonians 3:16, "Now may the Lord of peace Himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all." And Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Okay, so let's be on the same page with a few different terms. When we talk about peace, this word is used differently in the Bible. You've got in the Old Testament this word shalom. You've heard that before. About 236 times this word is used. And it's usually translated in some form of a greeting or a farewell, a something of soundness of body, health, prosperity, well-being in relationships. Shalom, Jeff. You know, how are things with you? How's things at home or at work or with the family? This idea of a greeting is kind of the general sense of that word shalom. In Genesis 43, 26 and 27, we see that it says, "When Joseph came home, they brought into the house to him the present which was in their hand and bowed to the ground before him. Then he asked them about their welfare and said, 'Is your father well?' of whom you spoke. Is he still alive? This idea of shalom, the idea of peace, is what's in view. In the New Testament, this word peace, there's a Greek word, and it's called eirene. And I looked that up, and there's a pronunciation.com Greek word, so I had to listen to that. At first I thought it was Irene. I don't think it's Irene. So eirene is the Greek word, and that's a translation from the Hebrew, meaning all that shalom means, but much more. And it really carries the idea about reconciliation that we have in Christ. If you think about the peace, the true peace that we have in Jesus Christ, and being washed by his blood, being reunited with God, that's the true peace that God promises. Eirene is what that idea carries. Ephesians 2, see if you can listen to it here or find it. In Ephesians 2, 14 through 18 says, "For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father." Eirene, Christ had come with the gospel message of salvation and peace. And so we see that there. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So notice in these verses that it's the justification that we have, cleansed of our sin, that brings us back into peace with God. And this makes sense because in Romans 5, later on in verse 10, what Paul says is that while we were enemies, we have been reconciled to God through Christ's death. So we were enemies of God. Now you think about that. There's not a lot of peace in being an enemy of God, is there? That's not something we want. But we've been reconciled to him, thus peace has been made. Okay, so true peace, regardless of circumstances, rooted in being in Christ. And you know, I was thinking about the trials that we go through. I was thinking about in Josh's lesson. Remember, he had, if you were here that night, I don't remember what night it was, but remember the rope, the analogy? He talked about, you know, he threw the rope down the aisle there, and he said, that represents eternity. And then he took, I don't know what he did, but he took a little small piece, and he said, this represents our life, our time on here, or our time on earth compared to this rope that goes on and on forever with eternity. If you think about our trials compared to eternity and the hope of heaven, they really do look rather small when you put them in context of how short not only this life is, but how short the trials are that we go through and that we struggle with within this life. In hindsight, they often seem very small. Okay, so let's just talk briefly about how does the world define peace? Webster defines peace as a state of tranquility, harmony in personal relations, and freedom from fears. Now, that's different than what we're talking about with godly peace. It's not freedom of trials or freedom of fears. When I think of freedom of fears, you know, I think about like when my kids were little and maybe they'd see something on TV. You know, you're watching TV at night and a commercial comes on for a scary movie, and it's just right away you can tell it's just kind of like a creepy deal going on there. And they see that, and then later on, you know, they go to bed, and 2 a.m, they come and they tug on your arm because they're scared, right? They saw that image, they saw whatever that was, and it got them frightened. And that's the idea here, is the world would define that as not being at peace. It'd be, you would want to have a freedom of fears, not being fearful about those things. But we know, being a Christian, it's not about freedom from trials and things like that. It's being able to have peace amidst those trials and amidst those circumstances. You've seen bumper stickers, Imagine Peace. You ever seen those, the bumper stickers? What are they talking about? Talking about no war, right? I wish we just lived in a war in a society, or a world in a society that had no war. So when you see things like that, that's what that means. Some of you remember the Beatles or the John Lennon song, Imagine. Remember that song? Probably many of you won't. But some of the words, imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. Right? And it's a great concept. It makes you feel real good. It's a good song. I like to listen to it. But it doesn't represent the world that we live in. It doesn't represent the world that God has for us here. There are wars. There's always been wars. And so this idea, when the world talks about peace, it's not the type of peace that we're after or that's really realistic. And so we need to keep that in mind. So despite the way the world views peace, the kind of peace we learn about in God's Word is quite different. Peace during trials, not peace without trials. Think about John 16:33. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. Now listen to this. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. Notice that Jesus teaches that we are to be at peace amidst trials. Not separate from trials, but in the trial is what he's saying. And it's a contrast if you think about that verse. What does he say? He says, in the world, there'll be what? Trials and tribulation. But in me, in Christ, there'll be peace. And that's the peace he wants us to have, is being in him. That's because our true peace is not a life without trouble, like I said, but something God promises to those who faithfully put their trust in him. One writer said this, the biblical concept of peace does not focus on the absence of trouble. Biblical peace is unrelated to circumstances. It's a goodness of life that is not touched by what happens on the outside. You may be in the midst of great trials and still have biblical peace. So it goes back to the idea of reconciliation with God and the hope of heaven. This is the ultimate peace and comfort regardless of events. One of the things that's interesting to me, if you think about Jesus in his ministry, particularly toward the end, you might remember in John 14:27, one of the most impactful statements that he made about peace, it happened right before he would go to the cross. Right at the very end of his ministry, when he knew he was going to be enduring everything that he had come there to endure. In John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. He knew what he was going to face. He knew what he had before him. And yet, he's sharing this message that despite that he wants us to have peace. And the peace that Jesus speaks of enables Christians to remain calm in the most fearful circumstances. So you really and truly can have peace. We can have peace regardless of whatever circumstance we're in. We just can. And he promises that. So I want to just give a couple suggestions on how do we develop this peace? How do we find it? Because I do think it's a little bit of a tricky thing to keep within our grasp sometimes. So three things briefly. The first thing that I think we can do to have this peace in our lives, and it's really kind of simple, but it involves obedience and it involves doing God's will. Proverbs 16:7, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. One way to think about this is the idea of obedience to God bringing peace, look at the contrast of that. What about when we're disobedient? Does that create turmoil in our life? You could think of some examples, couldn't you? You know, you think about lying. Has anybody ever been caught up in a lie or been in a situation where people are lying? And it's a lot of turmoil with that. It's a lot of problems when that whole thing gets going, right? Well, we know what God says about lying, and when people get engaged in that, it creates a lot of problems. Of course, drinking, that's an obvious one. Anybody ever seen friends or family's lives get ruined with alcohol? All right, God doesn't want us drinking and getting drunk and being part of those things. You know, we know what that can bring about. So those types of things can bring a lot of pain and a lot of turmoil and certainly take away peace. Gossip is another one. Gossip, Josh talked about that in his sermons. Gossip can bring a lot of pain. What about lust? Anybody say men, but has anybody known of an individual, of a man who ruined his family because of lustful tendencies or thoughts or actions? Those types of things. So when we disobey God and when we engage in practices that are outside of his will, we bring problems into our life and we don't have peace. Past decisions. You think about past decisions, past choices maybe that you've made. Regret, right? All those things can really take our peace away. David's a good example of that, and we know some of the situations he got in. Bathsheba's a good example. the turmoil he brought in his life, or in his life. Listen to this psalm of anguish. This is David now in Psalm 31, 9 through 10. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted from my grief, my soul, my body also. For my life is spent with sorrow, my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. So you think about the opposite of that. If we're obedient to God, that brings peace. How do you feel when you do the right thing? How do you feel when you step up and you serve God, or maybe you act on something related to evangelism? Or maybe there's a temptation that you have some success with that you can get out of your life. Doesn't that bring a peace? Doesn't that make you feel like, hey, I'm doing the right thing, and I have that sense of, there can be crazy things going on around me, but I have that sense of comfort and peace because I'm doing the right thing. Okay. Second thing is pursuing peace. What are three things that we can do to gain peace in our life? One is obey God. Second one is to pursue peace. And I just think sometimes we don't have peace because we don't go after it. We don't really pursue and try to work on it. It does take discipline, I think, to stop in the middle of a trial or in the middle of something that's causing conflict in your life to really focus and be at peace. Psalm 34:14 says, turn away from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. And then Philippians 4:6-7 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So the point I want to make on pursuing peace is, I think on this aspect, is it has to be cultivated. And I think it has to be cultivated just like anything else that we want to develop. We were talking a little bit about this in our high school class this morning. If you think about the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, patience, you don't become a Christian and God, waves his magic dust on you and all of a sudden you're a patient person. It just doesn't happen that way. So we have to discipline ourselves, and we have to try to pursue it and try to do things to cultivate those fruits in our life. And certainly peace is one of those. All right, and the last one is, and this will sound obvious, but trusting God. God promises peace. Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And I think sometimes it can be easy to forget this in life. It sounds like a simple thing, but we need to trust God that he's promised that we can have peace. And sometimes I think we forget to do that. Think about the comforting words of Jesus in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle in heart, and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So trusting God and trusting that he's faithful in his time. And I want to share a couple thoughts about this trust piece. Just with the last 7 or 8 weeks of my life and things that, things that have been going on in our family. And this whole job thing is, in my opinion, like losing your, getting laid off, losing your job, to me is a small trial, if you think about trials and like the big scheme of life and the trials that people go through. And it's kind of funny because, and I share this with a few of you, but I would say about a month or two, I think it was, before I lost my job at Target, one of the things I was telling Bronice was that I had identified in my life an opportunity to get better at trusting God. I said, yeah, I do these things, and you go to church, and you serve, and you help some people, whatever, right? You do stuff. But I said, I just think that I don't really always trust God. Like, I think I try to take on a lot of things and try to figure them out, and I need to work on that. That's just something that I want to get better at. So y'all know how that goes. So then a situation comes up where you get laid off and you lose your job, and it's like, okay. And I'll tell you, my attitude right away, and we had our emotions, but I started thinking, I'm like, hey, James chapter 1, right? Count it all joy, various trials, producing patience. I'm paraphrasing now, but, the testing of your faith producing patience. I'm like, this is it. Like, this is what we've been talking about. We do our devotionals, right? I'm like, okay, when trials come, We're going to grow now, right? This is going to be great. Not great, but you know what I'm saying. Like, this is going to be an opportunity, trying to be positive about the situation. And I can tell you, I think that there's some things that we as a family and myself that we did well. You know, I got up and I studied every morning first, as much as I just wanted to get to the job search, you know, spend a little bit of time in prayer, you know, doing some devotionals, tried to stay consistent with the work that I had in front of me. But I just don't feel like I was very strong in my faith. I really learned some things, and some things I just, quite frankly, a little disappointed in myself, because I just wish I trusted God more over these last 2 months. There's been a lot of ups and downs, and we would talk and say, you know, I know he's going to work this out. We did, right? You know, in the end of the day, you're going to get another job. But at the same time, just in those moments, the day-to-day, I found myself just questioning things, like, where are we going to be? Is it going to be here? You know, what kind of job? Am I going to like the job? You know, how am I going to get paid? What, I mean, all that stuff. And I'm just, you're kind of going back and forth. And it's disappointing, because, you know, I just wish that I was stronger all the way through and just, God's got this, it's going to be fine. But the emotions do kick in. And I think he wanted me to learn some things through this process. But one of them was, I need to work on my trust and my faith in God. I will tell you, Bronice, my wife, was an absolute rock. I mean, she was the one just, like, whenever I would get a little bit down, she's just like, God's got this in his time. He's going to work it out. And she was always really positive. I know she probably had her moments, but it was just really inspiring. So I need to be more like her in that way. So anyway, got to trust God. And you all know it's not always as easy as you think it is, but it's going to be really hard to leave here. Vina and I were, where is she? Vina and I were talking before church, and we've been here 3 years, and wow, it just feels like a lot longer. You know, it just feels like we've been here way longer than 3 years. Just the relationships that we've, you know, built with people, and, you know, it just feels like longer. This is a great church and a great, great group of people, and we're going to miss it here. And I'll end with this. I actually was talking to Josh. It's kind of a funny story. I was with another friend of mine about 2 weeks ago at Caribou, talking about work-related stuff, because we'd both gotten laid off, and we were just checking in with each other, seeing how job search is going. And where is he? Where's Jacob? Anyway, so Jacob, Andy, and Josh walk in, like, out of nowhere. And so it was kind of good, because they got to meet my friend, and we talked for a minute, and then Jacob and Andy went off and studied, and then I left with my friend, and Josh stood there, and he was getting ready for the gospel sermon that night. And I left, and I was driving down the road, and I turned around. I came back, and I went back into Caribou, and I sat down with Josh, and I just said, hey, it just felt like an opportunity I was going to miss, you know? I didn't have anything to do, just go get on my computer and fill out some of my resume to people and stuff. But I went back, and I just sat down, and I just said, hey, can we talk? You know, I just want to get your perspective on some things, and just share what I was battling with. You know, like, hey, I've got these opportunities, and we want to stay here, and this and that. And anyway, one thing he said that a lot of people have said, that, and I think, you know, we know this, but you're going to do God's work wherever you go. Nothing stays the same. And what's important is that whatever you do and wherever you go, you got to make an impact. You know, you got to let your light shine and glorify God. So anyway, that's it. That's my little personal piece of the trusting God. So think about those things. Think about your obedience to God. If you're lacking peace, maybe it's because you're not doing the right things. Pursue peace. Go after it and trust God. So if you need prayers, we'll invite you to come forward. If you're not a Christian and you want to become one, Now's the perfect time to do that. Go ahead and come forward as you stand and sing.